Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up!
I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello, and welcome to a returning Over the Top Radio. After a couple weeks off, we are back, and I'm joined by my co-host, Katura. What's going on, Katura?
Nothing. How you been?
I'm doing awesome. In fact, we'll talk about more of that later. But we are also joined by our other returning co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward and Chris. How are you this evening?
Chris, you're breaking
like reunion.
He's only known as Katrare.
I'm sorry.
He likes to be real with
I know
me.
Him. I know. It's a shoe, brother.
I'm a real person to him.
Yeah.
So like I said, after a few weeks off for different reasons, we are back on the air, and we are going to be talking about the wrestling news of the week. We will be previewing the upcoming return to Rio pay-per-view of Ring of Honor, which is, I guess, kind of a big deal. Hopefully it'll work out for them. And, of course, we'll be talking about the new NBA champions, the San Antonio Spurs, a little later on. But before we get started, and I can barely hear you guys, so if you guys could talk a little louder. What have you guys been up to since we've been gone? And we can start with Craig.
How's my week gone?
Your last couple weeks.
They've been some of the worst weeks of my life, to be honest with you.
Well, that's understandable. I kind of went through the same thing a couple years ago, and it takes a long time to get over. I know you talked.
Yeah, I mentioned it on the Brian and Vinny show the other night, but for those of you that aren't subscribers, I've had one heck of a month last month. I found out that my brother and his wife were divorcing. That's always tough. And my dad has had cancer for over a year now, and that sucks, and it was getting bad. And in the meantime, my job decided to go ahead and lay me off. So I had this avalanche of crap dumped on me. And long story short, my dad ended up passing away last Wednesday. The Friday before the first week we were off, I had to fly out to Ohio to say my last goodbyes to him. And last week, to bring everybody up to speed, my parents had actually driven out to Ohio from Washington State, where I am at. to have my dad undergo some experimental treatments. He had hit a wall with his chemo, and it wasn't working anymore. So they were going to do some stem cell replacement therapy in Ohio. Well, he never made it to treatment. He got sick. The cancer spread quickly, and unfortunately, it took his life last Wednesday. And me being a good son, could not stand to see my mother drive her car back home. I volunteered. So I had an impromptu road trip last week. So, and the funny thing is, I was offered a job the Friday before last. So I actually went to work on Friday, and I was there for 2 hours and then had to leave. So I took a week to drive back from Ohio and did just a little bit of sightseeing, not a bunch, but a little bit of sightseeing, and then finally got home last Friday evening late, and then started my new job last Monday. So things are on the upswing, but last month really sucked. So here's to a bigger and better July, I guess. I'm hoping it's better.
Well, hopefully,
yeah.
Since, you know, you had so much crap coming down on you in one month that it's just maybe everything's just being thrown at you, and it'll be smooth sailing for quite a while, you know.
Maybe so.
And, you know, and it's cool that you still got your job. I mean, I'm sure there are some places where they could have just been asses about it and not understood it, but that's cool that they get your job for you. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it was really weird because I had the job offer, and in the meantime, another company called me and wanted to speak to me. Well, I've spoken to them 3 times, and they called today and said they wanted to offer me a job, but I didn't get to return the phone call before they were gone for the weekend. So I went from no job to 2 job. So I guess that's okay.
Well, 2 jobs is better than no job. So you know,
that's true.
That's
now I just have to pick one.
Well, we usually would pick the one that would give me the most money. That's just
well, yeah. Yeah, anyway. That's what I've been dealing with.
Yeah, well, sorry you had all the trouble, but hopefully, like you say, hopefully everything will start working out better. Trevor, what have you been up to the last couple of weeks?
Nothing, Ed, I'm fine.
Okay.
Well,
that's actually more than I thought we were going to get from you, so I guess we could be happy about that.
I stubbed my toe yesterday, but I can't beat some of these stories, so that's wasn't really going to bring that up. So.
Yeah,
sorry, I got
a in
there.
Do
what?
I said some people have sensitive feet, so I feel your pain.
Yeah. I said when they stub their toe, do.
Yeah.
Where weren't you on the last couple of weeks? You said something about your voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could
get
barely talk, and it was mainly just on Fridays. And Saturdays too, but basically it's been since almost right after WrestleMania, it's been a playoff season in the NBA, and anybody who knows me knows that I'm like the biggest Spurs fan in the world, to the point where I'm very mental and I have to do certain fucking things and rituals and just, I'll just say it, I'm fucking insane about it. I mean, literally, it's like those people who have to, like, you know, wash their hands constantly, that's fucking me when the Spurs are playing. Just different shit, though. And this year we had a good year. And basically last year in the playoffs, the Spurs were 30 seconds away from winning the championship, and they let it slip through the fingers, and they lost. And it devastated the team. that devastated the city. And this year it was like a this year it was like a thing of redemption where we had to get back there, and we wanted to face Miami again, and it just we had to fix what they blew last year. And after a very rough start against Dallas, they beat Dallas, they beat Portland, and then they went and beat Oklahoma, and then they came back to the rematch between the Miami Heat, the two-time defending champions, who, like I said, beat us last year, unfortunately. This year, they came back to the Spurs and Heat, and I got a little crazy during the game. Like, I get louder and louder as the playoffs go, and the further they go, and basically, I woke up the last two Fridays where I would open my mouth and nothing basically came out because I yelled so much the night before. And I wanted to do the show, but I just couldn't talk. It would have been the worst sounding show ever, worse than any audio difficulties we've ever had on the show. We've had a lot. And but luckily all that screaming paid off, and I willed my team to victory. We got our redemption, and Spurs are the NBA champions. And I feel bad because I was having a great few weeks while Craig is having a lot of bad stuff go on. But, you know, I still had to be there to support my team. And I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the show. But
I don't understand all this intolerant stuff. You don't mean to say.
Yeah, well, didn't you say your dad was like that about football?
Yes, that's why I hate it.
Yeah. Well, I guess I can kind of understand that because I can hear. I know that I can annoy people. I remember when we won the 05 championship, when we beat Portland. I had season tickets, and there was this young couple that had got tickets just for the playoffs, and they sat right in front of me. And right after the first game, I started yelling after like the first play. This lady and her husband kind of like looked back at me and were like, what the fuck? Hopefully we don't have to put up with this all fucking playoffs. And yes, all playoffs, they had to deal with me screaming and yelling and going crazy behind them. And we waited to the finals. We won in game seven. It was a very exciting game. I screamed. By the time the game was over, I had nothing left in my voice. And when we were all celebrating, this lady turns to me and she goes, you know, you used to piss us off when the playoffs started, but it just wasn't the same without you. And just said that I made it like part of the experience or whatever. But I was like, they hated me at first, and I'm sure the other people in our area hated me too. But I can't. When it comes to the Spurs and the playoff times, it's just I don't know. I'm one of those fucking fanatics. And maybe there's something wrong with me. There probably is, but I can't help it. And I gotta support my team.
This is some kind of basketball competition?
Yes, this is a basketball competition.
Okay.
Oh, and also, another quick story I could tell before we get to our news. Just Craig, you know how brutal Bob Evans is a carny, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I found out just how big of a carny brutal Bob Evans is, and I knew brutal Bob Evans was a big carny, but...
Yeah.
Basically, in the winning minutes of the Game 5 for the Spurs won a championship, I get a text from Brutal Bob Evans saying,
yep.
Brother, I need 25 San Antonio papers. And
yep.
Then he puts this is a shoot.
Yep.
And I was like, all right, Bob, I'll see what I can do. And I go, it shouldn't be a problem. He's like, yeah, just let me know what I owe you for shipping and how much the papers were. And luckily, I was able to grab 25 extra headlines without anyone noticing, so I didn't charge them anything for the headlines, and it was just like $17 to ship it. So I figured maybe,
yeah.
You know, I know he's a manager in the paper out in Massachusetts. I figured maybe he's going to take a couple to a few of the newsstands. Maybe they'll sell them for a buck or two, you know what I mean? Maybe Brutal Bob will make $20.
Nope.
Well, come to find out, I see on Twitter a link to eBay, and I clicked on this link, and by the time I clicked on it, there was only like eight or five left, and Brutal Bob Evans was selling these $1 papers for $10.
Yes.
After shipping Brutal Bob Evans made $230, and I feel like an idiot for not thinking about that myself and fucking stealing like $100 and making some money. But I was like, God damn, that's a Corey right there.
Well, I won't tell you that he had me and Buddy Wayne do the same thing when the Seahawks won the championship here in Seattle. But we did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he mentioned that Buddy had did that for him. But, yeah, it's one of those things. It's like I saw that page, and I'm like, God damn, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, people buy anything.
Whenever somebody in my real life uses the term "it's a shoot," I just send them out.
Well, real Bob's cool, so I couldn't let the guy hang. But I guess we could get to the news of the week. I know Katrina had sent something to me, but did he send it to you, Craig?
No, sir, he did not. But I did happen to find some while I was looking.
I didn't want Craig think he had to show up. So, I mean, nothing.
Oh, okay.
You really don't have to be here.
I don't.
I'm kidding.
I feel like I do.
So do I.
No,
it's been so long, we all feel like we need to be here.
Yeah. I've got the front page of this little website called WrestlingObserver.com up. And I think we'll start off our news with the WWE releases 11 people from the roster. Start there. And,
yeah, that sucks.
One of them
was my damn ticket hookup.
I'll just throw out a name, and we can discuss. First one, JTG.
Don't care.
You know, he hasn't been on, and he really wasn't doing much when he was on, but this is one that it's the one that's the hardest to believe other than Funaki saying for all the years that he did, because he really did piss off the WWE pretty bad when he went public without the payoff for that one WrestleMania, and that's pretty much why they haven't used him since, and when they did use him, they squashed him. So, I mean, I can't feel too bad for him because they paid him for a long, long time before they fired him when they wanted to fire him a long time ago. So, I mean, especially he got fired, but it's like this is the one that's not a surprise out of anybody on that list.
Yeah. I just thought it was funny. I'm not sure, so don't quote me on this, but I think it was on his Twitter. He said, "Man, I picked a bad day to pick up the phone." Yeah. So anyway, the next step. These two actually surprised me. Drew McIntyre and Jinder Mahal.
They've been on TV every week. I mean, pretty much for the last few months.
Yeah, I thought they would have been safe because they're jobbers and they lose every week. But that's a good spot to have in WWE because they need to have people they need to kill and beat up every week. And let's be honest. We've all known that Drew though was in trouble since his wife was in the company and she basically beat his ass after a Playboy party and got arrested. And then after she got let go, she made some comments that she'd never worked for the WWE. So the other comments that just basically pissed WWE off. And basically, Drew, I don't think he's ever won a match since. And that was a couple years ago. And I don't even think he's with Karen anymore, so that's like a double whammy. But
she just went to TNA, so bad chance he gets hired there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, at least he made a little money for the last couple years, and whether he's with her or not, he's still got the bank Karen Terrell for a little while, and, you know, he should be happy for the rest of his life just for that. I would be.
He was like, just a few years ago, he was like the next big thing they were talking about, you know.
Yeah, him and Sheamus.
I never really saw it. He was okay. I mean, I never saw it as a big deal. But
He had a good frame. He had a good frame and a decent look. It's just they brought him up way too soon where You know, he wasn't as good as the push he got, and a lot of times fans will resent that when they see someone getting that big push when they're not ready, and it can actually, it can ruin your career. As far as gender, he was like a great jobber to lose or everything, but I think they actually wanted him to be a star, but he just never got any good, really. I mean, he was fine at B&B, playing off the other guys, but as far as, himself as a wrestler, I don't think he ever was anywhere close to being as good enough to be in the WWE.
I just hope this isn't doom for Heath Slater, because he's a really talented wrestler. He's really good in the ring, and he's got a good look.
Personality. Yeah.
Yeah, I just really hope this isn't the death of Heath Slater, because the one-man rock band needs to live on. Next up.
Well, they couldn't kill off all the jobbers, so they still need people to get their ass kicked. So hopefully he'll get a little more of a stay out of this.
Mm-hmm. Next up, and this came as no surprise to me, Oksana.
What do you mean it didn't come to a surprise? How could they break up Oksana? That's the greatest tag team name ever.
Mm.
And
she broke the wrong person's face, I think.
That's right. I actually liked her. I mean, yes, she couldn't wrestle, but that was kind of enduring how horrible she was. And then she was such a horrible actress that it was just, I just thought it was so campy that it was awesome. And I thought she was hotter as a blonde. But, they do have a lot of women, so I can kind of see them letting her go. But I actually felt kind of bad about this one. Didn't she almost kill Teddy Long or something? Or was that somebody else that almost fucked him to death?
Almost killed one of the Funk Pedactyls.
That's true.
It's not her fault. Naomi got her eye in the way.
That's right.
I've never seen anybody on Sunset Flip drop their knee on somebody's for my life.
Didn't she get her job by sleeping her way to the top with Teddy Long? Am I thinking of the same person?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I remember she
was
on Goldust in the Marion, so
she
could stay in the country
for a while.
Remember she married Goldust and stayed in the country.
Ah, that's right.
From NXT or something. Yeah.
Do you remember when they were doing that NXT and they asked her a question and she just kept acting like she didn't know what the fuck Matt Striker was talking about?
What a llama was?
Yeah, what's a llama? That was actually pretty funny.
God, what a horrible show that used to be.
Now, that season was awesome with the women. I'm sorry, that was just...
what was the season that would never fucking end? It went on like a year. It seemed like... Jesus Christ. I never watched
it. You know how I think she actually got her job is I think she actually won the Arnold Classic one time in the women's division.
Huh.
That's for bodybuilding, but there's bodybuilding and I don't know what it's called, the more athletic ones.
Like the fitness?
Yeah, fitness, whatever. She won. I'm pretty sure she won that Arnold the classic one. So I'm sure she's not. If all the people released, she's the one that has the most potential to make money because she can go back to that. She can do modeling. I mean, she is pretty hot. And
at the age of 17, she was the youngest person in the 1999 IFBB Arnold Classic contest.
Wow.
During her time as a bodybuilder, she won 3 medals in bodybuilding, amateur world championships, 2 silver and 1 bronze. So,
what are
we doing? I don't know what that means.
Well, I didn't know it was for bodybuilding. I mean, I guess she must have been a lot more jacked.
And no wonder they changed her fucking name. I'm looking at her real name here, and I ain't even try to say it. Send this one to Granny. See if she can pronounce it.
I see her sitting 2 chairs down from Kelly at the next... RF video signing, so she'll be fine.
Hey, she'll make money because Kelly charges $20 a pop.
Oh, yeah. She'll do just fine for a few years. Okay, next one up. Let me try that again. The next one up
This one breaks my heart. Kurt Hawkins.
Why does this one break your heart?
I don't even remember who this is.
This is the
number
other
one.
This is the other Edgehead, right?
The Egghead?
Yeah, Zack Ryder.
Yeah, they were the major brothers before, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I don't even remember the last time I saw him on TV. I know he does some NXT. I remember hearing his name on NXT. But,
yeah.
You know, as much as Zack Ryder is jerked around, and he was nowhere near as charismatic as Zack Ryder, so it's kind of not surprised that they let him go eventually. He's lucky he stayed on for as long as he did, because I look at this list, and him and JTG are the two most, the ones that, you know, haven't done anything since then. So I'm sure there are a lot of fans who read that and were like, who?
He wrestled 2 weeks ago on NXT. He wrestled, Adrian Neville. And it was a quick match, but I watched him work, and this guy, he's good in the ring. Now, like you said, he might not be the most charismatic guy, but this guy knows how to work, and it hurts me badly when guys that can really work and have working shoes lose a job. So I'm sorry to see him go. He should have been right there in the jobber category. He should have been called up to do jobs. I think they need to do more jobs on the main shows, SmackDown and Raw. I think they're in desperate need of enhancement talent on those shows.
Well, they actually do have plenty of jobbers and jobber matches on Raw and SmackDown. They just don't do it right because they'll have a guy job on Raw and then try to portray him as a superstar on SmackDown. You know what I mean? And
yeah, I guess.
You just had the guys classified as jobbers. Like, if he was just classified as a jobber, it would be better. But it's like, how can you get over when you're jobbing 1 week and not the other week? And it's just, you just kind of get screwed in that position. Also, did he also team with Lance Hoyt for a while?
No.
I don't remember.
Maybe not in this company. Maybe was Hawkins in TNA for a while?
That was Jimmy Rhodes.
I just remember, like, before Hoyt had left that second time, he was teaming with somebody, and I can't for the life of me remember if it was Hawkins or somebody else.
I wish I would have got rid of Zack Ryder just for the internet flip out.
Yeah, they will lose their minds when Zack Ryder gets fired eventually.
But the thing is, that would be the best thing to happen to him because he knows how to market. Look how over he got, just the YouTube videos. He could be like the next Colt Cabana, dude, as far as...
Absolutely.
You know,
I'm just
going to
say
worry about. You know what I mean? He's going to get work. He's going to be the commission.
Yeah.
He's going to be all right. He'd be all right if he gets cut. Kurt Hawkins is a different story, unfortunately.
I would leave him even more time to do shitty YouTube shows.
Zack Ryder will show up on the next Mikey Whipwreck show. Oh, the place will just come unhinged. All 150 of them.
The other guy, I think the other guy you were just talking about, I can't remember his name. It's just
Hawkins.
Hawkins, yeah. I think he was the one that was working with the Ross the last 2 years when he wrestled. I think
yes,
he was the one that was training with him. So
yes, that's exactly right. So he needs to open up a school. He needs to go talk to Mikey. He needs to get on the indie circuit. I think he would fit in magnificently in Ring of Honor.
And he may not need to talk off to Mark Henry on Twitter much anymore. That's advisable.
That's right.
Well, as much as I love Mark Henry, that was, I mean, Kurt Hawkins was right about that tweet. I mean,
why is Mark Henry worried about that being cut?
I mean, Mark Henry's not going to get cut. I mean,
I don't even know if Mark Henry was trying to be a dick. I just thought he was just saying something.
Yeah, he was.
I don't think he was trying to be a dick. I think he just said something, but what he said was just stupid. You know, he didn't think about it. He didn't think about how it might affect his friends that aren't there. I don't think it was done to hurt anyone's feelings, but it's something that hurts people's feelings. It's just one of those things. Some people, you know, they say or do things without thinking. You know, they don't realize the impact it could have. You know, not thinking that, what's a little tweet going to do to anybody? But it can, you know, it can hurt people's feelings, you know. I mean,
well, they're in wrestling. They're probably used to the feelings being
people
hurt.
People get pissed off at that.
They're in wrestling. They're probably used to their feelings being hurt. So,
very true. Very true.
They had at least to get it when he's no longer with the company. So, that's a little,
mm-hmm.
That's the way I'd have done it.
Okay, next up. Yeah, this one sucked too. Teddy Long got cut. Darn it.
Yep.
Yeah,
Teddy Long.
Awesome. I mean,
he really
is. I think he has the second most deaths in WWE. Well, maybe third behind Paul Bearer and Tim White.
Yeah.
But you know, he almost got fucked to death. Didn't he get, like, poisoned one time or something? I mean, you know, he's had some rough years, but he's also banged a bunch of hot divas, like Oksana and Crystal
mm-hmm.
Marshall. Didn't he have a heart attack after
That's
marrying
right.
Crystal Marshall?
He did.
Yeah.
I remember that, because between Ron Simmons and Doom were at the wedding.
if I got to fuck Crystal Marshall, I think I'd have a heart attack, too. But, man, I remember Teddy Long. God damn, dude. Katrina, when do you think he started coming out in the NWA WCW as a referee?
85.
He was a referee for a long time before he even became a manager or when he became the heel referee.
Yeah, I saw him as a referee. I saw him sometime at ringside, you know, like he would be, like, taking the jackets and stuff. Like in a little studio show in Atlanta. And then I was there when he did the Dastardly Deeds in New Orleans, that Clash of the Champions, and he screwed the Road Warriors against Mike Rotundo and Steve Williams.
Yeah.
When he did the fast count. Of course, that's the only way Road Warriors would lose at that time, so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone says he looked older then. I don't think he looks. I mean, he looks old now.
He looks bigger than him.
He looked bigger. He had hair.
He looked bigger than him. He looked healthier then. Yeah. He looked healthier back then.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was on steroids at one point.
Oh,
yeah, he was jacked for a while. He was jacked and he had, like, braids and he had some fucking teeth. He was a good referee, and he was a good manager, and he everything he did, I thought he was good at. I mean, he had a lot of charisma. He's been great the last few years. I guess they're just trying to save some money any way they can, and I don't think he's so old and been around so long. I'm sure he has plenty of money saved. I'm sure he'll be okay. I'm sure he'll get to do all the circuit stuff, and I'm sure they'll probably give him like a Legends deal, and he'll make appearances here and there. You know, I'm not too worried about Teddy Long. I mean, it's like he's not a reoccurring character anymore, but he's one of the guys here.
He's one I'd see in Legends House in the next season.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that actually would work out pretty good.
Yeah. I guess the WWE asked him if he had any parting words, and all he said was, holla.
I missed the white boy challenge. Remember the white boy challenge?
Oh, yeah,
With Rodney Mac.
Yeah. Hey, that's another one of my ideas the WWE of writing team stole from me because I went on Denver 5 and said they need to go back to the squash matches, and then next week they're having a white boy challenge, and he's beating Rodney Mac.
And then the Jewish guy, Goldberg, is the one that won the white boy challenge.
That's right. Oh, geez. And next up, we had Haku's son, Camacho. Really like this guy. He's a good worker, man. And since Hunico got called up to the main roster and put under a hood, this guy just
just didn't do anything in NXT. I mean, he was on their big show, and like I said, he's a great worker. But I think he'll do good in another company.
Yeah, he's got a
bike on the bikes with Hunico.
Yes,
they're doing a gimmick where they come out on bikes. Yeah.
Well, you take a guy who's, where the fuck is Mink supposed to be from? Somewhere from like the Fiji Islands or wherever.
He's
the fuck.
Him. He's from the Isle of Tonga.
Yeah. Instead of giving him the Tongan gimmick, they gave him a fucking biker cholo gimmick, and he looked like the fucking fanciest cholo I ever seen in my life with all his clean clothes and shit.
Well, they already had the Usos.
Yeah, but those are Samoans. There's the Tongo. Like I said that a couple weeks ago, his nickname should have just been Son of Ming.
Son of Ming. I like it.
Son of Ming.
Weekly features on Ming, you know, like talking about how tough he was and stuff, and he pulled dude's eyes out and get their tongues off or something like that.
Yeah. And they could have gave him the Tongan death grip and shit. That move was over back in the day.
And actually have him come out as a manager? Are you kidding me? That would have got him over.
I mean, they could have had him grow his hair out all wild and crazy like Ming, too.
You betcha. No, it's too bad. They kind of dropped the ball on that guy. They dropped the ball on a lot of people, but... And then my son was crushed to find out that Brodus Clay got the axe.
I was trying to find out Brodus Clay was still there.
Yeah, exactly.
He's one guy that you always got the feeling they just did not like for some reason, which is weird because he's a big dude. And he, like, before they, okay, remember how they were supposed to, I guess they're supposed to bring him up. And he tweeted about it. So then they didn't bring him up. And they teased every week they were bringing him in the next week. But every week he never came in. And they were showing those videos where he was just like a badass monster just killing people. And, you know, he's so big, he could be a believable monster. But after all these weeks of waiting for this big monster to come out, he came out as... some kind of cross between Run DMC and the Fat Boys.
Yeah.
And did he have Naomi and Cameron since the beginning, since the first time he came out?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. And and it was a good little babyface comedy act. You know, the dancing fat guys always get over. But apparently,
gotcha.
I guess they thought he wasn't really any good. And it's like when they made him heel, they didn't even really try to, like, push him. It's just like, yeah, fuck it. And he did a couple matches. And didn't he knock out Adrian Neville's teeth or something?
Oh, I remember he was with Alberto Del Rio at first, wasn't he, when he was a heel?
Oh, yeah, he was like bodyguard or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Alberto was like his bro in NXT when they brought him up.
Okay.
And then he had Alberto had like a ladder match with somebody, and I remember Brodus Clay got busted open, like really bad in this ladder. It was like the TLC event or something. It might have been Edge that he was fighting.
Hmm.
Yeah, because Ed was with Del Rio around that time that he was with Del Rio.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
it's
kind of good. Maybe,
it's always a surprise when someone this big gets cut because, you know, they do like big guys, but apparently they just never like them.
Yeah, it's too bad. They could have done so much with, you know, he was the ex-bodyguard of Snoop Dogg and stuff with that. They could have made him a mean guy, or now they had to ham it up. At least we got the WrestleMania moment with Brodus's mamas.
And the Bridge Club.
And the Bridge Club, that's right. At least we got that. So I'll take that.
We also got Naomi, because I don't think they would have called Naomi up if it wouldn't have been for the needing her for the fucking backfield, because she's pretty, but she's not like WWE pretty. You know, she's she would never have gotten a chance just on her work rate. So, you know,
people
we
don't
got
like that, that a woman's match on something else.
We got two good things out of Bullet Clay, and that's the Funko Deckle.
Is she the one that liked the Melina and Alicia Fox match or something?
No. No, no, that's the other one.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't
no,
know.
That's
I think she was...
Cameron's the one that said that about Melina
yeah.
and Alicia Fox.
Yeah.
Hmm. I can't never tell much part. And don't call me racist. I can't. I'm sorry.
I think the only one we got...
Naomi's a super dark one, and Ariane's a light-skinned dark one. There's a difference.
Yeah,
okay.
Yes,
Ariane
is the one down the first week of the fuck is the name of that show?
Tough Enough?
Tough Enough, not
Tough Girl Divas?
Not Total Divas, but the one with Stone Cold. What the fuck was that show called?
Tough Enough.
Tough Enough.
Oh, Tough Enough, yeah. She's the one that, you know, when Stone Cold downgraded her on the show and asked her what her favorite match is, and she said, Lisa Fox against Melina, and who can ever, the greatest moment on Tough Enough, when Stone Cold just had no words.
Speechless. Speechless.
Yeah. She showed Stone Cold. She's the only one that that made it in the WWE. Eva Lisa is having a nice little career right now in the independents, but you know she's Ariane. As far as WWE, Ariane is the only one that made it.
Yeah, I getting back to Naomi, I think she would have got called up eventually. She's one of the best girls WWE has right now. She had a really great match with Paige on Main Event
this last week. But
they signed one of them, Ariel. From the Funkadactyls, are they doing a heel turn with them?
They're breaking them. Got
a rib
there. Yeah. Okay. Next up, we have Ed's. How do we say this? One of Ed's buddies. They like to invibe No. I'm trying to sugarcoat it. They like to invibe in nature. So, unfortunately, Evan Bourne, who we haven't seen forever, and it's a darn shame because he's a heck of a worker, Evan Bourne was given his walking papers this week as well.
Yeah, this was disappointing. He was like one of the best top riders I've seen in like years.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you look at this list, he's by far the most talented of everyone on there. And he didn't do himself no favors. You know, I'll never forget, basically, he was going to be the one to go to the pay-per-view here in San Antonio. I can't remember the name. And I was supposed to get the hookup with some free tickets. And then I get a call saying there's no go on the tickets. He's afraid to ask because he knows he failed his drug test. And I was like, oh, fuck. And amazingly, he still won that match. He still won that match with Kofi. And then basically what happened, and it was kind of dumb because the reason they got suspended is because, you know, they don't suspend you for pot, but they fine you.
No.
And if you keep failing your test, like some of them do for pot, because the guys would rather smoke pot than drink or take pills, but you can't, you know, they basically said you need to cut that shit or else. So they started doing that fucking spice, herb shit, whatever. It looks like fucking potpourri, actually. And the one time I smoked it, gave me a headache. I don't like it at all. And they started doing that. But then, you know, you've come to find out that that's more dangerous than marijuana. So they put that on the suspension list. And apparently him and R-Truth were smoking that at one of the parties that a lot of the guys were at. And for some reason, Evan failed his test, and R-Truth didn't get suspended for a couple months, mainly because he was involved in the program with John Cena and The Miz and The Rock at the time. And some shadiness going on there. And then he ended up failing his drug test for an even more powerful drug. A lot of people think that he was trying to get fired at the time, but they didn't fire him. And then, unfortunately, he got into a really bad. It was actually on a scooter. I don't know how he could, because I've been going so fast or whatever, but something happened and he fucking fucked up and he destroyed his foot. Not as bad as Kerry Von Erich style, but he really fucked his foot up bad. Remember 2 years ago in Vegas, he was walking with a cane. He couldn't walk for too long without it hurting. I mean, he was in bad shape a couple years ago. Last year, he looked a lot better, but if you look like he would pick up his foot, and you could see the ball on the top of his foot still through his tennis shoe. But he said he was ready to go, even though he had that. And then when he came to town this past December, he was actually walking almost perfectly, and he said that he was ready to go, and he was hoping that he'd be back really soon. And unfortunately, I kind of thought they're making Tyson and Gabriel work NXT. I thought maybe he'd be perfect for NXT before he came back or whatever. And unfortunately, they just decided to cut him. I remember when I saw him in December, he was telling me he had got a letter from WWE, and it was from like the payments department. And he said he was freaking out because he figured he was getting let go then. But he opened it up, and they had actually wrote, because he had missed a year, they wrote his contract over a year. So, he was under contract longer than what he was originally contracted for, but it still sucks that he let go. But once again, he's one of these guys that he can go straight to ROH, he can go straight to Dragon's Gate, he can go straight to Dragon's Gate in Japan. He can go to Noah or any of the Japan companies. I mean, like I said, this is the most talented dude there, but like I say, it kind of sucks that no more free tickets.
And still the greatest, like one of the best spots the last few years when Randy Orton hit that RKO when he did the shooting star press.
Tremendous.
Even though it was during the run-in, I thought it could have been better during a match, but still. I'm still amazed at the timing they got on that. So.
Yep, absolutely tremendous. Next up, referee Mark Harris.
Black ref.
Was that the Rodney lookalike?
Like you can say all black guys look like Rodney.
Well, that's the one I'm thinking about. He looked like Rodney. One night I was watching Raw, and I was like, "Who the fuck did Rodney get his job?"
I just knew him as the name Black Ref. That's the only name I knew him as.
Well, that's the only identifying thing about him. So, unfortunately. And last on the list was one Yoshitatsu. They brought this guy in and had he was awesome. I was so happy that they brought in a guy from Japan, and he looked great in a lot of his stuff. They couldn't figure out what to do with him. Busted him down to NXT, and now he's almost 37 years old, and what are you going to do?
I was actually a little bit more surprised he got let go than JTG.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Maybe I'm just thinking, Japanese guy Funaki, who stayed there forever.
Funaki is one of the longest guys ever in the company. But I remember they brought him over, but they never did anything with him, okay?
Yeah.
But then I remember that one WrestleMania in Arizona, I believe, where they inducted Inoki into the Hall of Fame. So they had Inoki and other Japanese officials. So basically they had that big, the opening battle royal for everybody that's, to get a spot on WrestleMania. And somehow, out of the blue, Yoshitatsu, however you say his name, wins this freaking battle royal. And it's like, what the fuck? But it turns out it's because, they had all the Japanese guys, and I guess they threw them a bone.
He started in ECW, if I remember, back when they had ECW.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I remember that's where he was having
much good
match there.
He looked like Tanahashi.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, his eyes were slanted the same.
Oh, jeez.
I'm kidding, although it was true, but I'm just making a joke.
Yeah, okay. I need one of those disclaimers. Yes, technically, yes, it is true. You're a dork. Okay. Other news. I'll just read this verbatim. Casting agency caused a stir when they sent a notice for a Sting body double for an orchestra in Sting face paint.
An orchestra in Sting face paint?
That's what it says. Specifically identified for being for WWE. Somehow they didn't think it would get out really. Why did he write orchestra there?
I didn't write this, by the way.
Yeah, I know. This is one David Bix. Maybe you've read his stuff. Autocorrect can be a real pain in the butt sometimes.
I actually didn't hear what you said. What's the main topic on this one?
A casting agency caused a stir when they sent out a press notice for a Sting body double and an orchestra in Sting face paint.
An orchestra just like Sting, basically.
I guess
Okay.
It was specifically identified as being for the WWE. Somehow they didn't think this would get out, really. Anyway, it's for WWE 2K15, if he's going to be this year's Brock Lesnar / Mike Tyson / Ultimate Warrior guest on the pre-order bonus. So if that doesn't say that Sting has signed with the WWE, I don't know what does.
Yeah. I fully expect him to be headlining the Hall of Fame next year.
Mm-hmm. Also, there's obviously a ton of concern about Daniel Bryan and his neck problems. They went ahead and stripped him of the title last week, and Bryan has lost a lot of strength. And people in WWE are scratching their heads and they don't know what to think about it. There's a fear he won't be able to work SummerSlam at this point.
And it was going to be him and Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, I think, originally.
Yeah, it was.
I think he'll be back by SummerSlam.
Oh, I hope he is. I hope he is. I mean, necks are obviously a fragile thing and you kind of need them. So it just depends on his rehabilitation.
Him getting hurt might have been the best thing that happened to him because it got him out of that feud with Kane.
Yes.
I don't know. I think it would have been better. Will that never out of my head when he comes back? By the time he comes back,
no, in WWE they'll throw him right back into it.
I hope not.
Bix here writes that. Instead of Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, he suggests Cesaro.
I have a question. Why are you getting your news from Figure Four Weekly and freaking Bix instead of the Wrestling Observer with Dave Meltzer?
Because it doesn't have any typos.
Yeah, that's true. Obviously,
it's all the same came across. It's easier to read.
It is easier to read, much, and we only have a half hour left, so I figured I would use short little clips instead of, you know, these.
I don't need like 45 words to tell me about Pepe Ashton been gay for 40 years.
That was going to be my next news story. Newsflash: Pat Patterson's gay. He came on Legends House. Yay!
That was actually pretty cool. If anybody watched that. I know people are kind
of
booing it.
Everybody already knew.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, it's a TV show. You know, big whoop.
Yeah, but the people who are appalled that they're trying to act like this is news, it's like, get over it. It's like, not everybody knows. The hardcores know, but the hardcores are still a small percent of the audience. So there's a lot of people who found out for the first time watching that show.
And people acting like those guys were shocked that he said it. They weren't shocked. They all know. I mean, I think people wanted to think that they were shocked just so they could say, oh, they're shocked, even though they've known for like 30 years. No, they weren't shocked. It's probably a big deal for him to say it. I mean, maybe he's never said it out in public like that before. You know, so maybe.
Yeah. And I mean, and it's been kind of known ever since fucking Billy Graham was an asshole and told those lies about him on Phil Donahue. So, I mean, it's not like his name hasn't been in that, you know, with that kind of lifestyle before. So.
And they even said on the show that they all knew, you know, they knew what he was talking about and stuff like that, like the week before when he kind of alluded to it, you know, so.
I didn't remember the first week when he told the dude at the deli if he liked packing meat.
Yes, he does.
But, yeah.
Good thing.
Whatever.
Good thing
I don't
he
think
wasn't
it's
at the,
a big deal.
It's a good thing he wasn't at the Hershey plant.
Oh, my God. Did you watch the reunion last night?
I have not watched it yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I was in those Thursday shows, and Brian's like, why would anybody want to watch this? Everybody's always crying and fighting and stuff. That's why people watch this shit. That's why people watch reality shows. They want to see people fight and cry.
Absolutely.
They don't want to see people. All these reality shows are built on people fighting and getting emotional and stuff. But people watch
If everyone got along, it was all hugs and kisses, no one would watch that shit. Brian and Vinny especially have no idea what a fucking reality TV show is. If he would accept what it is, he would enjoy it a little more. But he has no idea, so he's outraged at the stupidest things. It's like, really? Is it really worth getting upset because you don't think someone talks the way they do on a TV show? Is it really that bad that you have to become angry or emotional or whatever? It's like sometimes I listen to their reviews and it's like I just want to slap them, and it's like you're losing your shit over some stupid thing on Total Divas. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Take it as what it is instead of what you think it is, and it's just like, you know, you get more enjoyment if you just, you know, accept what it is and not think that it's supposed to be real. It's not real. Reality TV does not mean reality. It just means, you know, that
you watch
it's
wrestling
not like,
for God's sake. You're used to it. Jesus.
Yeah.
None of this shit's real. Speaking of this, I want to know one thing. How do you confuse the Clash 4 with Clash 1? That's beyond me. I don't understand that at all. How do you going to watch all Clash 4 and not know it's not Clash 1?
Dude. I told him at the beginning of that show, we're going to talk about Vinny's bachelor party. We got Raw. We got SmackDown. I said, let's save it and let's just watch it next week and nobody will be any wiser. No. We got to talk about it. This thing I know, I'm driving home at 12 o'clock in the morning, so I have to get up to work, you know, the next day. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Nobody would have ever known, but no. Brian runs the show. Okay, I'm done.
I was just
you're right.
The first Clash of the Champions is like, what's the most known for? For seeing the show that won against WrestleMania that one year?
Right.
And the fact that this Clash War he watched had a Christmas theme didn't tip him off that it wasn't around WrestleMania?
I'm sure he was doing other things while he was watching the show, because I'll be honest with you.
Brian
takes notes.
He's an idiot, dude. Let's just be honest.
I'm not
on the Vegas trip coming up here in a couple weeks. Okay, Dave Meltzer's been going since the second one. Dave Meltzer always goes on a Friday and leaves Sunday morning. Right? Never changed.
Right.
Always the same. Well, we're having a dinner Thursday. And this dinner is actually kind of expensive because it's at a Focal de Chow. It's one of these prepaid things. So it's like $75.
Yes, sir.
So Brian, knowing that he has to pay for himself and his wife, and I guess he tries to keep Dave from all the little bullshit things or whatever, decided that he's going to pay for Dave's Focal de Chow dinner on Thursday night when Dave has never, ever gone on a Thursday. So, CBJ, keep his money, CB. Don't give it back.
Perfect time to pay for it, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And there were not five judges in that main event. There were only three.
It said there were five. They introduced
the
judges.
There were not five. There were three.
Okay.
Who are you going to question? I would know. I watched them enough times. Ken Osmond and Jason Irie were special guests at ringside.
I see.
That's why they only tallied three fucking votes.
Right, but but when they introduced them all together. You know what I mean? There wasn't really a descriptive thing, because I thought it was five judges. Vinny thought it was five judges, so somebody got confused somewhere.
I haven't seen this match since it came out, but I remember them. I remember them being specific about who the judges were, and the other two were being guests. And like I say, I haven't seen it since, so I don't know. Maybe this guy just missed something or something. But that's how I remember.
He was officially a judge. I can confirm that.
Okay.
But why is the penthouse
And then who was it that said, why was Jason Hervey there? Jason Hervey was there because he was banging Missy Hyatt at the time.
No, he wasn't. It's that wasn't even in the company.
Oh, jeez. Here we go.
She was in Memphis.
But when did he start banging Missy?
You're married Daddy Gilbert.
Now Missy's going to be upset.
I got my time frame off. But you still got to bang Missy Hyatt. He's lucky.
Anyway.
And something's wrong with Brent Clement.
Here, I'll give you a little scoop. Next Tuesday. Here's a little scoop. Next Tuesday, Brent is going to be on the show.
I got two pages into the thread, and I put it off.
And I called him today.
Okay. Brent is going to be on the show. Vinny feels absolutely horrible about posting whatever he posted in on the board. But Brian yelled down to me as I left. He goes, "Do you mind if Brent's on the show with you on Tuesday?" I'm like, "Yeah, why not?" So there's your scoop. Don't tell Brian I told you.
I thought that was
bad because it got Brent attention on the board.
I know.
And that's what Brent lives for. He is fucking happy. He's happy as a motherfucker right now.
Absolutely. And he's going to be even happier.
I didn't even think it was the real Brent.
No, it's him.
I just thought his name was all in caps, and I don't know.
No, that's really him.
Did you read any of the shit on the board, Couture?
Do I read any other shit? I try not to.
Well, no, the threat that Vinny started about him, did you read it?
I read, the first, three pages, and then I just shut the computer off.
Okay, well, you saw the best part where he said that his Facebook is only for friends and celebrities that he knows.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like Natalie Portman?
Right.
And Missy Hyatt. All I know is there was somebody posted a bunch of pictures of some messages on Facebook with some good-looking chick that apparently is on crack or something. That's about as far as I got. That's all I know.
Yeah.
I think he needs to go back to the funny farm for a few weeks or something.
Okay, let's move on. Let's quit talking about Brent.
Okay.
Last story, and we haven't been on in a couple of weeks. What did you think about the Seth Rollins heel turn?
I thought it was great. I liked it.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, I thought it came off really good. I think they've done everything pretty good. It looks like the rest of the show is breaking up, which kind of disappointed me because I was kind of hoping that it would be Reigns and Ambrose against Rollins and Randy and Hunter, and then Ambrose would also later on make the turn, you know? I would think that would get Reigns even over more if both of them turn on him and he had straight twice. Maybe they'll do that. Yes, but And I think Ambrose will get himself over because he's just so wacky and over the top. And I'm not as worried as other people are. But I thought it was a good heel turn. I thought everything worked out right. He did an okay job on the promo. I'm not too sure on the new Batman costume, but we'll see.
I'm sure they'll do something.
I like the new outfit. They need to do something that was just like kind of like the Shield, but different enough. He sticks out as a singles guy, so I like him.
At least they didn't add they kind of added the abs to his Batman costume, but they left off the George Clooney nipples.
Okay.
I like the reasoning behind his turn, and that they went as far as they could. They beat everybody, so, you know, like, what's left for him to do with the Shield? So kind of breaking away and do his own thing. So I kind of like that.
I like the angle very much because, number one, it totally caught me by surprise. I did not see it coming. There's no way you could have. they kept it so hush hush, and the heel turn just came up kind of from out of nowhere. And I love what they're doing with Dean Ambrose right now. I think he's such a phenomenal worker, and just everything he does, I think is so believable. He locks up. I really believe he's locking up. When he's punching a guy in the face, I really believe he's punching a guy in the face. When he gets kicked and he's selling his shoulder, I believe his shoulder is hurt. He is a fantastic pro wrestler.
He reminds me, like, personality-wise, kind of like Piper. Piper. In a little way. He's kind of off the wall and, you know, personality.
Yeah.
He's like a little more satanic Roddy Piper.
Yeah. And they need to keep Roman Reigns away from doing that silly spiking people's drink in the back. That's going to kill him.
I think they should have done Cena.
And that was disgusting, too.
Absolutely.
That was worse than the Ultimate Warrior.
I didn't mark out for his Games of Thrones line that he did the week before.
And I see what you're saying when you saw the heel turn, didn't see it coming, but when it was like Hunter and Randy, and there were only two in the aisle, and they said there's a plan B, and there was three guys in the ring, one of them had a chair.
Mm-hmm.
No, I figured what was about to happen. So.
Yeah.
Because he got two chairs, and he brought them in, so I figured he was giving the one to Ambrose, but then he just put it to the side, and it's like, I'm thinking to myself, why did he get the other chair? And I'm like, oh, okay, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So the last thing on the docket tonight is the ROH pay-per-view, which is this Sunday, June 22nd. You'll be able to order this on most cable companies, DirecTV and Dish Network. It is live.
That's a live, real pay-per-view, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it starts at 8 o'clock. That'd be 5 over here on the left coast. It is on pay-per-view, real live pay-per-view. It comes from the Tennessee State Fairgrounds, where they used to tape TNA. And the card looks pretty good. And one of the biggest things that surprised me is when talking about this show, one Chris Cotrera said, I'll be watching this. And I said,
Sure.
Really?
It's going to be on regular, real pay-per-view, so I don't have to worry about it going out.
And who did you say was going to watch it?
Couture, okay. Yeah.
I said that in my Facebook message when he asked me what we were going to do for the show the other day.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
So, you don't plan on watching it?
Absolutely.
So, sorry.
I said, are you planning on watching it?
Oh, I actually have to work on Sunday when it's on, and I really can't miss because I missed the two previous Sundays because the Spurs were playing. And then the Sunday before I go on vacation next, which is basically next week, I have to miss that Sunday because I am going to Austin for the Anarchy Championship Wrestling presents their yearly Queen of Queens tournament. And I have to go see my favorite, Leva Bates, wrestle and win the tournament. And looks like I'll be having dinner with her also. And also get to hang out with Lance Storm's former student, Jack Jameson, who he named in San Antonio. And I'm very offended by that, Lance, because he looks nothing like me. I'm a handsome man, and this man is not. And I have, you know, he would Lance about that. But, yeah, they're bringing in Leva Bates. They're bringing in Athena. They're bringing in Candice LaRue from PWG, and they're bringing in Sue Young. So it's actually they actually got some big names as far as the women's team. So I'll be missing next Sunday. So that takes priority over our week, unfortunately.
So the thing that surprised me most is Couture is not a big ROH fan. Why this one?
I don't know. It's just it's live, so you know, might as well. It's Sunday. I got nothing better to do.
Okay.
Same reason I would watch TNA on a Sunday. I got nothing better to do, even though I didn't watch the pay-per-view last weekend. I just that was the first one I missed in years. So. Apparently, I missed a good one, so, but I don't care.
Yeah, I heard it wasn't too bad.
TNA's useless. Although I would have liked to see Kevin Von Erich and all that stuff on there, but apparently he got the biggest pop on the show.
Yeah. I heard the same thing. Anyway, let's quickly run down the card. We have six-man mayhem. The winner will get a shot at the TV title. We have ACH, Take Watanabe, Caprice Coleman, Darius Thomas, BJ Whitmer, and Tommaso Ciampa. Six-man mayhem. The winner gets a shot at the TV title.
Understood,
okay,
like two names out of that.
Two standings out of this match. Okay. What the fuck is BJ Whitmer doing in the match with ACH, Darius Thomas, and Caprice Coleman? Total Styles Clash. And that Watanabe, that dude sucks.
Yeah, Watanabe.
Watanabe sucks. He was the most unimpressive Japanese guy on the Japanese show the other month. And
that's true.
I don't know why they're keeping him. He sucks. But
he's fine.
As far as ACH, Darius Thomas, and Caprice Coleman, basically, there's going to be a lot of flippy views in this match.
Absolutely. And with the other three, there are going to be a lot of guys dropped on their heads.
Yeah. But it'll be a good match because, like I said, those three guys can, you know, they don't have a lot of psychology, but if you want to just watch an action match, those three guys are going to be flying all over the place. ACH is pretty damn good. Hopefully BJ won't hurt it. I'm not into BJ. He's very generic to me. I don't like BJ. But I think it's going to be a good match.
He's fine at best. They've been having, who is it? Is it Tadarius that's with them with the decade? And they've been
feuding
with
Coleman. Basically, one of the black guys went over to Decade.
Yes.
So it's either Tadarius or it's Caprice. I'm not too sure, but it's one of them.
That's fair. We have a submission match between Cedric Alexander and Roderick Strong.
This will be a good match. Roderick always has good matches.
Always.
Hopefully he'll kick the shit out of Cedric Alexander for real for the fact that the dumbass wore his stupid jewelry to the ring in WrestleMania and cut the living fuck out of Roderick's thumb. I mean, I saw that thing close up. I would have hated to have that thing because that thing was fucking, it looked kind of deep. I mean, it looked like it needed stitches, you know, basically, because
right.
It was open. It was fucking open and it went from the fucking fingernail all the way down past the first section of his thumb. And, you know, Roddy's fucking crazy, so I'm sure it didn't bother him too bad. But he did say that every time he had to stick his hand in his pocket or something, that it was annoying the fuck out of him. And it bled like a motherfucker. And it was just because
sure
of
did.
someone being stupid and wearing something that they shouldn't, you shouldn't wear sharp objects in the fucking ring. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is the play that you're going to use. And, Roddy was not happy about that. So I'm sure even if Roddy has the job, he's going to beat the fuck out of him, dude. I guarantee you.
One of my favorite little parts of the weekend, WrestleMania weekend, Roddy was in a match on the next day. He had his thumb heavily taped, and he was coming out to the crowd, and he noticed me and Rodney and a few other guys, and I gave him a big thumbs up. And he laughed, and he looked over at Peach and lifted his taped thumb and gave me a big thumbs up back with a big grin on his face. Pretty funny. Yeah, it'll be a good match. Next one. Mr. Wrestling versus The Last Real Man. We got Kevin Steen versus Silas Young.
Contreras, Silas Young is going to be your new favorite wrestler.
I could see that.
Because he looks like he should be, he's from straight out of the mid-80s.
He looks like a guy you would see on Worldwide.
Looks like he should be in like a Marvel commercial.
Right.
Looks like he should be in Mid-South World Class. He looks like a throwback so much. And he's not bad, actually. And Kevin Steen's awesome. This might be one of Kevin Steen's last matches, I guess. But
very true.
Yeah, Silas Young is fucking awesome.
He's great.
Kevin Steen's supposed to be going to WWE or something.
That is the rumor. So we'll see how much more he slimmed down.
Yeah, he does still need to slim down a little more. But he slimmed down a lot, but he still needs to do a little more. And maybe we could see a return of the the fuck was their tag team name? Him and Sami Zayn.
Crap, I can't remember.
Whatever it was, they were
anyway.
An awesome team.
They
could either team or feud in NXT, and it would be awesome.
Okay, next up, we have a grudge match with Matt Hardy and Michael Bennett versus Jay and Mark Briscoe.
This will be it'll be good. It won't be as crazy as most Briscoe matches, just because Bennett doesn't wrestle a style, and Hardy, he really can't do this crazy shit like he used to. But I'm sure it'll be awesome. I mean, the Briscoes, Mark Briscoe's, one of the most charismatic dudes I've ever seen. Jay is fucking badass. Matt knows what he's doing. He knows how to just. He doesn't have to do anything, and he'll still get the crowd going pissed off. And Ben is pretty good. He gets a lot of heat
really
on because just because he doesn't wrestle the normal ROH style, but he's pretty good. And then plus you got Maria out there, and anything with Maria is five stars and just five. If you go and look at my WrestleMania photo album from WrestleMania with the pictures from the actual wrestling event, I probably got about 100 pictures of her ass in there.
I wonder what the deal with Matt and TNA is. I wonder if he's going to be allowed to work both.
He's not under contract for TNA.
Okay.
He's
just coming in from New York shows or something?
He was just on the Observer Radio, and he basically said that he's not under contract to either company, and he can basically do what he wants, and he can work for both of them. He's not full-time
on
TNA, but he's actually in a good spot because that's actually cool that you can work for both companies. I mean,
yeah, good for him. Any payday is a good payday. Yeah, I haven't heard that interview yet. Okay, we have ROH Television Championship. Truth Martini will be handcuffed to the ring post during the match with Matt Taven and Jay Lethal.
David Eagle's awesome. I mean, he's really, really good. Taven's okay. I think he's still got the ways to go. He still needs something. Chuck Martini is probably the best manager as far as in wrestling today. The dude is awesome. The dude has the greatest tattoo I've ever seen in my life.
No.
What do you mean no?
I disagree. It's a horrible tattoo.
No, I disagree with you, Craig. He basically has a picture of Christ crucified on his chest, pipes through Christ's hand or his nipple.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the most ingenious thing I've ever heard of.
Okay, moving on. This is the match I'm looking forward to the most. We have Christopher Daniels and Kazarian. They will be wrestling Red Dragon, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish.
Yeah, this will be great. Not only will it be an awesome match as far as work rate, it's going to be a funny-as-hell match because fucking
absolutely.
Bobby Fish is fucking hilarious. And
awesome.
Daniels and Kazarian, you know, they don't...
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
They don't give a fuck anymore. You know what I mean? So they want to have fun, especially Daniels. So this match, and it's weird because aren't they both heel teams? I mean, I know Red Dragon was a favorite against the Young Bucks, but I don't think they're actually baby faces. I don't think Daniels and Kazarian are coming in as baby faces. So, but it'll be an awesome match. I mean, all the matches I've seen with Red Dragon have been the best matches on the shows. I mean, the one from New York last year was them against the American Wolves. Was just fantastic, and then this year it was pretty good, and they're an awesome tag team, and I think this might be the best match of the night.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see Kazarian and Daniels getting booed by any stretch of the imagination, so I think just by crowd reaction they're going to be playing babyface. Red Dragon's a great, great mechanics in the ring, and only to be outdone by the comedy that comes with it. Bobby Fish, I've been trying to get him on the show, by the way. Bobby Fish is so good in the ring, and then he is just a crack-up to watch. The little things that he does in the ring, and then on the promos, he's even... He's even more funny. He's been around forever, and it just took this long for him to kind of hit his stride and find his you know, turn it up to 10 kind of a thing. You know what I mean? So good on him. It works.
Yeah. He also looks like that one UFC fighter that is nicknamed Uncle Creepy.
Is it Tom McCall?
No, wacky looks and mustache. And unfortunately, especially Tom Lawler isn't able to accompany him to the ring this time. I think Dana told him no or whatever. And he was actually awesome last time with his bucket and everything.
Yeah.
Water bottle. I mean, that was actually fucking hilarious. But
he was good.
Yeah, this would be an awesome match.
Because that would be the favorite stuff. Been in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
Since they were DMA started. So
I think they'll have a good crowd just because, I mean, those first few TNA shows that they just, you know, open up the doors, here you go. You know, they did pretty good there. So I think it's going to be a good crowd for wrestling. And in the main event for the ROH World Championship, we have Michael Elgin versus Adam Cole. I think this is going to be a blow-away match. Michael Elgin in the main event always turns it up a notch, and this guy has been really tremendous over the last couple of years, and I think him and Adam Cole are going to be, I think they're going to have a match of the year candidate.
Yeah. I'm hoping Cole doesn't lose. I don't think it's time for him to lose. I mean, I think he's doing a great job.
Agreed.
As a champion. And you're right about Elgin. He does have really good matches. I mean, I've seen him in some awesome matches. And it's weird because if you look at him, like the first time you look at him, you see, okay, he's thick, but he's not muscular. He's definitely not tall. Okay, right. It's like you kind of, to me, he looks like a throwback to an old jobber, basically. You know what I mean? He just, he doesn't fit the star look. He doesn't have a star really look to him. But the dude is a workhorse for his size. I mean, he's phenomenal. He's like amazingly strong and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll never forget that match him and Davey had. That was fucking unreal. Matches him and Kevin Steen. I just remember Craig's mouth open for like 2 minutes and just in shock of what he was watching. I was worried about it. It was going to come flying in your mouth because you were just.
It's a bump. They took a bump off the ring apron onto the pretty bets. It was a flat back bump. It was like, are you kidding me? And those big guys hitting the ground that hard, that my seat shook underneath me. I was just like, what in the... Anyway. So, yeah, that's the ROH pay-per-view. I'm just telling you right now, go get it. You're going to be upset if you didn't. So it's only $35 for HD, $25 for standard definition. Go out and drop some money and support ROH, and hopefully they'll do more of these again. Ed, it is 7:27 by my clock. You need to throw out the plugs, my man.
All right, everyone, check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download the Streamworks show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. You can also download the Streamworks show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Contrere and older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio. And if you may be in Vegas in 2 weeks and you want to hang out with the crew, check out the Facebook page, the 2014 F4W/Wrestling Observer Vegas Convention event page, and you can find out what we are all doing that weekend. And good news, today we finally, because we've been worried that he might not be able to make it, but today Barack from the board, who had become very ill over WrestleMania, in fact, he died twice. But still hung on, and he's making great progress. Him and his girlfriend have announced that they will be making the trip today. So that's
very
good news. And go ahead and draw your plug, Kurt.
Yeah, just one thing. I want to thank everybody on my Figure Four family, as I like to refer to them as. Thank you for all the support, the messages, the texts. You know, I'm talking to you, Mike Sempervivi. The tweets, just I just want to tell everybody thank you. I've had, like talked about at the beginning of this show, a really crap last month, and my dad dealing with cancer is one of the hardest things I've ever had to go through. And knowing that there's some decent people in this world makes it all the better. So for all you idiots on the board and all you trolls, suck it, because there's some good people out there and you're not one of them. So thank you. Thank you for everybody who's been so kind and sending your thoughts. I appreciate it. And if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, it's at properjam. It's P-R-O-P-E-R-J-A-M. Contrera, the floor is yours.
I don't have anything to plug.
Contrera 35 on Twitter. He needs some followers, and one of these days he'll actually tweet.
Then go to youtube.com/Contrera if it's still up. I don't know. I haven't been there in forever. that's the video. I may be moving back to Mississippi pretty soon.
Wow.
Ed, you may lose your spot on my couch for WrestleMania.
Breaking news right here.
Mm-hmm. My girlfriend found you in the fourth, so.
Your family.
What did you say, Katrina?
I said my girlfriend finally getting divorced, so.
Okay. All right.
It'll be Catherine.
Well, before we go, I want to ask Craig a couple questions.
Sure.
I'm actually kind of curious because, you know, it's one thing to live in San Antonio, and I know it's totally different in other places, but I know you got to watch a lot of the NBA finals this year, right, Craig?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, are you a big? I know you said you used to go to the Supersonic games back in the day, but are you mm-hmm. a basketball fan? Like, do you follow basketball?
I haven't been watching as much because we don't have a team for me to support here in Seattle. But yeah, I watched the finals. And
you didn't feel the need to stay and cheer the Thunder just because they were your team at one time?
No, that was the team that was stolen from us.
Such a bad thing that happened that it just kind of like, you know, you just kind of like wanted to forget about it.
That was a team that was stolen from us, dude. So,
yeah, I know.
I'm still a little bitter.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm just asking. What did you think watching? Because, like, a lot of people say, so we get very upset because, you know, we watch these fucking ESPN shows and all these newscasts, and all everyone mm-hmm. wants to talk about. They either want to talk about freaking LeBron in the Heat.
Yeah.
They want to talk about Kobe in the Lakers. They want to talk about the Knicks or Chicago.
Sure.
And San Antonio has this reputation for being this boring team. And at watching them for years,
yeah.
I know they're not a boring team. But I want to, mm-hmm. since you watch them, I want to get your, and you're not familiar with the Spurs very much. What did you think of the Spurs? And the finals as a whole.
Okay, here's the thing. I was very glad to see King James put in his place. As you know, there is no I in team. Well, there is no team in Miami either. There is only LeBron. San Antonio deserved to win because they played as a team. I think that's so cool that they played as a team. There's not a lot of – when you've got a superstar on your team, Kobe, LeBron, even the kid in Oklahoma, Kevin Durant, that's a class act kid, okay? But San Antonio played as a team and they won as a team, and I think that's so cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they played – like, you don't see, like, basically, you have a team with LeBron, and basically, LeBron does what he wants, and occasionally he'll pass the ball to somebody. Same thing with Kobe.
Right.
Same thing with, like, basically every team that has, like, a major star.
Hmm.
And San Antonio has three stars, but there's three stars that are, for the most part, in the waning years of the career. I don't think you can consider Tim Duncan or Ginobili really superstars. You know, they're still very good, obviously. Kobe's still got a few more years on them. But basically, it was watching a totally different game because instead of just watching LeBron isolate, go one-on-one, it was
mm-hmm.
like watching the Harlem Globetrotters play. I mean, it was like they'd take it like to a new level. And it was just incredible watching. And I don't know if you know the story, but it was like the most perfectly booked year-long storyline, and that actually added to the excitement and the meaning of everything. And if you look at the Spurs, another thing about the Spurs is they don't fucking act stupid as far as celebrating. Like some teams will win one game in the playoffs and they act like they fucking won it all. The Spurs, they won the Western Conference, and yes, they're happy about it, but you didn't see any cheering. You know, they knew exactly what they had to do. When they won, yes, they were emotional, they were excited, but they didn't go overboard, they didn't act stupid. They were the most humble team.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who won the MVP, Kawhi Leonard, he's 22 years old. He's just a kid, and he is the most quietest person. He fucking never talks. And it
mm-hmm.
was great seeing someone like that pushed into the spotlight winning the MVP. When instead of like LeBron, like, you know, every time they give the trophy to LeBron, he's like, yes, I deserve it. Thank you. You know, you're lucky that I played for you. And, you know, seeing this kid just like so embarrassed and humbled. And it was a great moment when they all started like when they announced him and they all started like pushing him and shaking him and cheering at him. And he finally showed some emotion and yelled and out of happiness. And, it was awesome, and then it was another moment. Did you see the part where they showed Pop sitting on the bench, basically crying?
No, I didn't. I didn't watch a ton of the after thing.
Okay. Yeah, well, the coach basically, you know, he's the longest running coach in any sport. He sat down and he put his hands, his face in his hands, and he just like lost it because it just it was such an emotional ride. Because, like I say, we should have won it last year. They lost it at the last second, but it's one of those things where, in a way, I'm kind of glad they did lose it last year because it just meant so much more this year, correcting the wrong and, you know, getting their redemption. And, man, it was just I was just having, you know, I'm sorry that you were having a bad week, but myself, I was just in heaven and paradise because it's been 7 years since they won the title. And, you know, Tim Duncan doesn't get, like, a lot of props because he's kind of quiet. He doesn't seek the spotlight like all these guys. But basically, if you look at from Tim Duncan's rookie year to this year, the San Antonio Spurs are the most winningest team in any sport. Their winning percentage is higher than any other team in any sport. They've won more games than any other team in any sport. They've been through the playoffs more times than any team in any sport. It's just like the most, you know, it's just an amazing career. And he'll go down as being known as the greatest power forward of all time. But to me, he's right there with fucking, with Jordan and Magic and Bird. I mean, he's one of the greatest players to ever play. And it's the same people don't appreciate him. And I hope people, after watching this, kind of start to do, because the dude didn't have to stay in San Antonio. This past couple years, he's only gotten, if you took him, Manu, and Tony, they all took less money on their last contract. They make, combined, they make way, way, way less money than fucking LeBron James and so many other players. It's just like, you know, San Antonio is a team that we don't get a lot of players that we would probably like to have because they don't want to come to a small market town and they don't think that we're big enough. But when we do get somebody good and they do realize how the city is and the team is, they stay. You know, David Robinson never played for another team but the Spurs. Tim Duncan's never going to play for another team but the Spurs. Tony Parker, he's still got years to go, so I won't say that he'll probably only just play for the Spurs. I think Manu might be the only, like, might be also, like, an only Spur for, like, his whole career. But it's just, it was just great seeing everything. And I can't wait to be in Vegas in 2 weeks and sport my Spurs championship T-shirt and cap like I did at the very first convention, because that was the last year they won, was the very first convention. And, yeah, that was just an incredible ride these past couple weeks. And it was just fucking awesome. And they had the parade the other night. We have the coolest parade in the world because instead of just being put in some cars and going down the street, we put them in boats and send them down the river. And that's pretty cool. And there were like, they do the river parade, and then after that, then they go to the dome for like the pep rally or whatever. And hours before the pep rally thing started, they had to close the doors and turn people away because they had like 10,000 people more than they were supposed to have in the dome. And the fire marshal was like, no, close the doors, close the doors. And it was just been a great weekend here in San Antonio. And it was very emotional for me. I was basically in tears at the end of it. And yeah, it was a good run. And hopefully we can do it one more time.
Yeah, it's cool when you get a championship in your city. It really is.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that we both had that. You know, we both had that. You know, you had you got the Seahawks, and then, you know, we had Spurs. So that's always pretty cool. You know, when it happened. Yeah. So yeah, that's been great. Either of you guys have anything else you want to talk about before we go?
No, I'm all talked out, man.
Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap up, and we'll be back. I'm sorry, what?
I said I think Couture might have dropped off.
Yeah, he actually did.
Yeah, okay.
But
there
that's okay because he doesn't just talk about the Spurs because he doesn't even know what basketball is.
That's true.
He'd be like, he'd go to a basketball game and be like, where's the bats? But we'll be back next week, and we'll hopefully have something to talk about. And I don't know if we'll be back on in 2 weeks because that's when I'll be in Vegas. But we'll have something next week for sure.
Ed, listen, buddy.
What?
Next week I got, not to let the cat out of the bag, but I've got Vinny's rehearsal dinner next week, so let's figure something out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You can, are you going to dress appropriately this year?
Absolutely. I already asked him, I said, can I wear a Soundgarden shirt? And he said, yes, underneath your button-up. I said, that's fair.
Watch, everyone's going to be dressed up. Vinny's going to come in as a slob.
Maybe. All right, play the music. Yeah. Go home.
All right. Well, I gotta find it here. So. But, yeah, everybody come back next week, and we will talk to you then.
To be the man, you got to beat the man.
You want to find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up.
I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game involves the play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.